We began the day by praying at the tomb of St. Peter, and then we went to visit the successor of Peter, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI. The two go together from the threshold of the apostle's tomb to the meeting with the apostle's successor. In our hearts, there is a great sense of unity, not only with our Holy Father in the Catholic communion of today, of which he is the chief pastor, but also with the whole history of the Catholic Church from its beginnings with the Lord himself, and then its governance by Peter and his successors and the bishops in union with him. So it's a moment where we feel the affective collegiality, the unity of the mission, and where we return refreshed to help our own people appreciate what it means to be part of this history and part of this communion, this network of relationships we call the Church.
And what were the issues most important in this meeting?
The Holy Father receives each of us individually just to greet us. Then collectively we sit and we tell him what is important to us in our province of Chicago in this case. So each bishop spoke about another aspect of our mission, one that is a cause of great joy with young people particularly, and we connected to the Holy Father's ministry to youth, and one that is problematic, the institutionalization of our ministry in hospitals and in universities today because of pressures from outside in the government and pressures from inside with the diminishment of religious women and men. But we could go through a number of such issues. We talked about immigration. We talked about the political life of our area, where many of the political leaders are Catholics, but that doesn't mean that they are favorable to the Church. We talked about the Hispanic presence and the way it is transforming the Church. We talked about schools attached to our parishes and how, at least in Chicago, they are growing in number and helping to preserve the faith and pass it on. We spoke about the new evangelization and how we are trying to encourage that, and marriage, its difficulties, which we have been speaking about for several years, and also then some of the means we're taking in order to strengthen marriage and to defend it in law. So it was a large, large selection of topics that we thought it would be good to bring to the Holy Father. He listened very carefully, as he always does, and sometimes gives a few words of advice. But most of all, it was just a comfort to be able to tell him, here is how we carry out the mission and the mandate that we've received, and we do it in union with you.
A few weeks ago, the Pope underlined the risk of secularization in the U.S. society. And yesterday, we had this legalization of the gay marriage in the state of Washington. And, of course, the problem of the attack on the conscience right by the U.S. administration. How the Church can face this very complex challenge?
Well, the Church works from state to state. In our federal republic, the laws are done in that manner, and so the majority of states have not yet adopted so-called gay marriage, a union of two men or two women, as the equivalent of real marriage. But Washington State did that. Washington State is a very secularized part of our country, along with Oregon, and it's very liberal in its social understanding of the person is purely individual, and relationships are not given. They're chosen freely, and they're unchosen as well. So it's somewhat part of the culture of the state to move this way, even in regard to marriage. The problem at the federal level is that our present administration now is violating conscience rights in such a way that if your conscience doesn't conform to what the law says, there will be no exceptions. Before that, in order to preserve religious liberty, there were religious exceptions and conscience exceptions around abortion, around homosexuality, around all the moral problems that the secularized society regards as essential, and that the Church says, no, there's a different anthropology here, a different sense of freedom. We could always maintain that distinctiveness because we had the exceptions given in law. What the present administration does is remove the exceptions. Just as they removed the protection of law from unborn children 39 years ago, now they remove the protection of law from the Church's mission. And they can continue to do this. It's frightening in many ways in what we thought was a free country that so easily the consciences of individuals and the institutional conscience of our major hospitals and universities can be so easily violated. So the church is asking people to pray, which is most important, asking us to convert again, and then doing what we can, either with legislatures or with courts, in order to try to see to it that these new regulations do not take effect.
Finally, immigration is another important issue nowadays in the
yes.
U.S. A lot of work to do for the Catholic Church on this front.
Well, it is, and there's no political will to make changes. The parties, especially the Democratic Party, now play with the issue, but they don't do a lot. There are more deportations than ever, and families are disrupted, which is what we're concerned about. Again, the United States is founded on individuals, not on families, and therefore associations like families, churches, are now no longer reinforced by the law itself. The problem is that for many years, in order to get cheap labor, we just ignored our own immigration laws. And now these people are part of our society, and we're saying, well, because you're not legal, you don't belong here. In the United States, the law is so important. It's a cultural entity that unites us, because it's very pluralistic, as you know. Only the law is what brings us together. So if you are outside the law, like undocumented immigrants or unborn children, you have no rights at all. You're not even, you don't have human rights. And we're always saying, look, there are human rights no matter what the civil law says. But in the United States, the civil law is a teacher. It's not just a way of regulating behavior. And so these people can be treated as if they were not human, which is what is happening. And the church then tries to impress upon the society everyone has a right to be treated as a human being, no matter what their legal status or lack of it might be. And then we're also pressuring as much as we can the U.S. Congress to try to create a comprehensive immigration reform without much success so far. But we'll see.